are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Let's get into our mental health awareness conversation with Perlene Coughlin from the Vista Clinic. We're talking about practical grounding techniques, and we're speaking about anxiety, right? Which, when it takes over, it can feel like you're caught in a storm with no way out. Now, grounding techniques act like an anchor, pulling you back to the present and giving you a sense of control when your mind is racing, whether that is focusing on your senses or controlling your breathing or using simple mental exercise. Grounding techniques are powerful tools for managing anxiety in real time. But which one works best? How can you make them a part of your daily routine? And how best can we use these techniques? Perlene Coughlin joins us to share some of these. Perlene, good morning and welcome back once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Bongi, and good morning to all our listeners.
So much for joining us once again. Perlene, speak to us about some quick and effective grounding techniques for anxiety relief.
Thanks, Bongi. So when we speak about effective grounding techniques, there's quite a few which I'd like to share with you this morning, okay. Bongi, with yourself and with also our listeners. The first one that is usually very effective is what we call the 5-3-2-1 method,
okay.
Where we focus on five things that we can see, four things that we can touch, three things that we can hear, two things that we can smell, and one thing that we can taste. Now, often when we say see something, it's also possible or more effective if you go into detail in terms of the description. So if you see a green telephone or a pink pen, that is one of the techniques that works very well. Another one is to hold a cold object in your hand. So we often advise people in the moment to grab an ice cube if it's possible, to find one, or also just to run cold water over your hands just to shift your focus.
Okay.
And the thing is to focus on the sensation of the water or the ice cube in your hand.
Okay.
Another one, Bongi, that is also very effective is to just stand barefoot on grass or on sand. Who would have thought that that could be a grounding technique?
Right.
Is to walk barefoot, and we wonder why children are so good with dealing with anxiety in terms of, especially if you think about playing barefoot on grass or sand, or just on a solid surface if those are not available to you. And the idea is that we focus on what is the sensation underneath your feet when you do go barefoot. Another one, Bongi, that I often share with people as well is to do box breathing. And I'm quickly going to share with you how to do it.
Okay.
So you inhale for 4 seconds, and then you hold your breath for 4 seconds, and then you exhale for 4 seconds, and for the next 4 seconds, you just hold as well before you take another deep breath in.
Okay. Okay.
And what we often advise is you can use your finger to draw a box literally in the air for yourself if you'd like to do that. So you take your finger. For the first inhale, for example, you draw a horizontal line. When you hold, you draw a vertical line. When you blow out, when you exhale, then you draw another horizontal line. And then when you hold for 4 seconds, then you complete the box.
Yeah.
That is called box breathing and very useful when it comes to anxiety.
Yeah,
a fun one, which one can also, it is one that can we can also practice with our children. Oftentimes, I say with mental health challenges that our children don't often understand what we go through because they're children.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we don't have the words to explain to them. So it's good sometimes to just play these games with them as well.
Okay.
And it includes them also in, you know, dealing with what we what's happening to us in terms of an anxiety attack or even just in general. So the one thing that I always find interesting to work with kids is to count backwards. So you count down from 100 by increments of 7 or any random number, really. And the idea is that you make it as difficult as possible to actually subtract as you go back from 100 up to the number 1. Another one which you can also play with kids is the alphabet game, where you pick a topic like, let's say, animals or foods. And then you name one for each letter of the alphabet.
Ah.
This also helps just to calm you down and takes the focus away from what is causing the anxiety.
Interesting. And it sounds like it's really about taking your focus off of the anxiety, that most of the ones, or if not all, the techniques you've shared so far.
Absolutely, Bongi. The main idea is to take the focus off the thing that is causing you anxiety or those thoughts that can become so overwhelming. The idea is to take it away from there.
Okay. All right. And then how does the, you mentioned the 5-4-3-2-1 method, among other things. How does that one in particular help during anxiety episodes?
It helps them to bring your focus to the present moment by engaging the senses. So it grounds you in reality, so to speak. So this will help you when you feel overwhelmed and distressed. It helps to slow your breathing, mm-hmm. and it also slows your heart rate. So it actually calms the nervous system down, and this is what we want. So any activity really that you can think about where you have to count or you have to describe something in detail, what you hear, see, touch, taste, and smell, those are very useful when it comes to calming the nervous system down. And that is why the 5-4-3-2-1 works so effectively.
Okay, okay. Now, do these techniques replace medication and therapy and, you know, the other tools that we have for dealing with anxiety? Do these grounding techniques replace those?
That's a very good question. Thanks, Bongi. Grounding techniques can be very helpful, and it's also very effective tools. But you know what? They do not replace medication or therapy, especially when people are struggling with moderate to severe anxiety disorders. So we'll find that grounding techniques helps when someone experiences mild to moderate anxiety or stress, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. like on a daily basis. But it can be used as a complementary tool alongside with therapy or medication. So it can also help us to improve our mindfulness or our self-awareness, mm-hmm. and also helps with just regulating our emotions. So we find that if the symptoms of anxiety are severe, mm-hmm. or if they are persistent, or it interferes with daily functioning, then medication and therapy definitely becomes a necessity.
Okay.
So if someone has been diagnosed with a mental health condition like anxiety, depression, and also others, then grounding can serve as a complement. It doesn't take away medication and therapy.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Now, why do these sensory-based grounding techniques work so well for anxiety? What is it about those?
Sensory-based grounding techniques, they work well because they help shift the focus away from overwhelming thoughts that is brought about by anxiety. So anxiety can take many people into future worries and also racing thoughts.
Sure.
Now, grounding techniques, they use the senses to break the cycle, because when one starts with the thoughts, you find that the thoughts become faster and faster, and with that also the symptoms in your body increases. So engaging the senses can help calm the body's stress. So if, for example, if we do deep breathing or we touch a cool object, this gives a signal to the nervous system to slow down. So it reduces the heart rate, and we actually find that we become a bit more calm and also more relaxed.
Right.
And by focusing on what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, sensory grounding shifts the attention away from the anxious or intrusive thoughts. And that helps you to stay in the present. So for example, when you're driving on the N1 and you see there is a lot of traffic and you're stuck, you can choose to go take another route and go get onto the N14, where you can travel more freely to reach your destination and there's not so much traffic. It's the same concept when we deal with when you get, you know, the sensory and grounding, how that works in terms of shifting. The one thing that about sensory grounding techniques is that it can be done anyway. Mm-hmm. It's very quick, it's simple, and it doesn't require any tools.
Yes.
And it also reconnects the brain to the body. We find that, and I think I mentioned it from earlier sessions as well, that anxiety can make us feel detached or out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do sensory grounding, it can bring awareness back to your body, and that also helps with dissociation and panic if we experience quite a bit of panic in the moment as well.
Right, right. All right. Now, how can we incorporate these grounding exercises into our daily routines?
That's a very good question. Thanks, Bongi, because oftentimes you hear people say, but I only have 24 hours in a day. 24
right.
hours is actually quite a long time in a day, especially when you hear adults say that.
Yeah.
So it's about making time to practice these grounding techniques. Why? Mm-hmm. Because practice makes permanent.
Mm,
we need to cultivate the habit of doing. Yes, we need to cultivate the habit of doing grounding every day, so it can become a part of your life. So when it happens, it's not something new that you now suddenly have to remember, because when we have an anxiety attack, we don't remember. Order, structure is almost completely out the window. So it's good to practice it every day. So
right.
for example, I'll share with you a few times during the day where you can do different things. In your morning routine, You can wash your face with cold water to wake up your senses. Mm-hmm. You can also practice mindful breathing. Scent awareness is another one. Where many people find drink coffee. But if you ask them, how was your coffee? They'll say, it was nice. Yeah. Nice is not really a word to describe a coffee. So you need to smell your coffee. You need to smell your tea. You need to smell your lotion or perfume, anything you use to apps on your skin. Mm-hmm. And during school or work, you can practice a 5-3, 5-4-3-2-1 exercise, mm-hmm. or you can use a stress ball or make a temperature shift, like holding an ice cube or drinking cold water when you're feeling overwhelmed. During mealtime, now this is very important because we all have meals during the day, yeah. hopefully, and hopefully nutritious meals at that. So you can engage in mindful eating. And with this, we mean that you focus on the texture of the food, you focus on the temperature of the food, and also the flavors of the food. And while eating, it is also a good thing to become aware of the utensils that you hold in your hand. In the evening, you can walk barefoot on grass or other surfaces, as I've mentioned before. And if you shower or bath, it's good to pay attention to, for example, the water. You know, check the temperature of the water. What does it feel like when it hits your skin? And if you're someone that uses soaps, for example, it's good to take in the scent of the soap. Yes. To just close your eyes for a moment, take a deep breath in and out, and see what you can smell in the soap.
Right.
Other things, before bed, for example, you can hug a pillow. It's also good to picture a calming place in detail where you try to include your senses. So many people, for example, will use aromatherapy where they use scented candles or relaxing and calming lotions.
Yeah.
Or anything that you use, even your clothes, you can smell your clothes. So anything that calms the nervous system down, this is how you can incorporate it into your daily routine.
Beautiful. And so the fact that you're encouraging that we incorporate these into our daily routines, that means we're not waiting until we're actually in the middle of an anxiety attack or we even suffer from anxiety at all. You're just encouraging us to take these exercises, to do these daily, just as a part of our routine. Would this be like a preventative or I don't know, what's the reason for us to do this every day?
So it's almost like going proactively into working or dealing with what is happening in our lives.
Okay.
There are so many things that causes anxiety, and especially if someone has been diagnosed, then, like I shared with you earlier, practice makes permanent, because yeah. in the moment, we won't remember many things.
Okay.
So
okay.
I usually suggest to people, find one or two things that works for you. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get used to it. So when you find yourself, your heart rate increases, you suddenly feel very hot and sweaty. Mm-hmm. You start being and know exactly what to do just to keep you grounded, just to make sure that you can follow some sort of logic to get yourself out of the situation. And by doing that, firstly, we shift the focus, and then we can think logically about what to do next when we find ourselves in an anxiety attack.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Pauline. How do we wrap this up? Just any final words about grounding exercises and how they can be helpful and all of that? Just any final words as we close?
I will just once again say, Bongi, practice makes permanent.
Right.
Make it a daily habit. I've shared some really valuable notes in terms of routines during the day. And really just practicing mindfulness is one of the best ways that we become aware of our bodies, how we respond, so that when we find ourselves in the moment of the stress, we know exactly what to do.
Got it. Pauline, thank you so much for your time once again, and look forward to our next chat.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bongi.
All right.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.